4 years ago, two students skipped in class when it crafted an album. Some called it a classic, but we've grown past it. Was good while it lasted. Now it's time to put the education into practice. Beats, rhymes, rice be the breakfast of champions. We hold the whole town down together with a plan to hold the mic with compassion like Yuri did Malcolm. Traveled down the coast since we dropped the last album. That plus one is how long we've been war torn. It's the return of the hard knocking hardcore. From hard rock to hip hop, the migration of flocks who once mocked what we ride for. It's side war, from sidewalks to billboards and stores, telling all poor people that the world is yours, but this money is ours.
Welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines Radio on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming on the web at www.kpfk.org. Well, joining us right now is Geologic from the Seattle-based hip-hop duo Blue Scholars. It was founded in 2002, and Geologic is one of the co-founders of the record label Massline Media, whose mission statement includes the use of using hip-hop as a means of grassroots community organizing and youth outreach. Welcome to the show, Geo.
What's up, what's up?
Yes, representing Seattle up in the Northwest. I knew I had to bring you on because, you know, I was listening to Joe Metro, and you're talking about catching the 48 down MLK and into from Rainier Beach to the Central District. I'm like, I was on that bus.
Yep. All the way up to UW.
That's right. So, well, first let's just start off. I mean, Blue Scholars, it's a wordplay off of blue collar. So does that have a lot to do with how you were thinking about shaping your music and who you would be speaking to?
Indeed, the dual meaning, of course, the blue collar thing. I went to the University of Washington. My partner, DJ Sadzi, that's where I met him. We were both actually working students at the time that we formed the group. So it's a nod to our working class backgrounds and also our working class experiences, going to school, trying to get that degree while working. At the time, I was working two part-time jobs. And also the scholar part is a nod to us being students, both going to UW once again.
Well, for all you listening, we're catching Geo as he's flying out of Seattle. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and joining us in the studio is Skim. And let's just introduce Skim by playing one of her songs off the track, Holding.
I'm holding too much in, yeah, I'm holding. I'm holding too much in. I'm sick of being lonely.
So again, joining us on the show in studio is Skim, talking about the intersection of hip-hop. And, you know, you describe in your own words that you are a bridge between man and woman, native and immigrant, rich and poor, love and war, and that your music resonates in your spine and reverberates in your bones, striking a chord deep into heart of anyone willing to listen.
Yeah, read that, Tammy. How you doing?
Good, good. So let's, you know, one of the things in terms of we've been playing around with this idea of Asians in hip hop, and obviously it's got a lot more to do with growing up inside the, you know, the urban experience, but also in the role of Asians is just trying to figure out how to break that space. And you play around with a lot of different pieces in terms of not just your experience as inside hip hop and the politics around you, but also being a woman and queer inside hip hop politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me in a nutshell, Skim. I figured out I was born for some reason to embody a lot of contradictions in me, and whether that was to, you know, pull every circle that I seem to be exposed to and involved with and around, I think that I'm learning how to do that through my music, which is really just to bring all of these things together. And I think that's why in hip hop, and I love, you know, being here at KPFK, who, you know, like pumps some, you know, good music and really solid, substantial things. And with you and with Geo on the phone and Jeff Chang earlier, this is, you know, really what music is. And I think that's why I personally have resonated so much with hip hop, is that just the foundation of it was bringing together so much. So Yeah, all each and every element, I think, inside of me is what I strive to really put out, you know? So hopefully it's all coming together that way. And being Asian, being queer, being, you know, woman, female, or, you know, perceived to be men, we just all kinds of things, all kinds of ways. I don't really understand why yet, but I know that I'm living through it and just really giving my best at or a stab at really exposing how it is to feel all these things. So,
well, we got a little bit of a treat for you. I know you were on Russell Simmons' Hip Hop and Deaf Poetry Jam, and you did a piece, yeah. And we're asking you to do it in studio today. Would you? So give us the title and then just...
Yeah. I'm almost as nervous as I was that day recording it. But yeah, this piece is called Your Eyes. And I wasn't so much nervous because of the content, but I was just nervous because I had never really delivered it yet. I just pieced it together. And here I was on TV like, don't mess this up, Skim. Because it was really important for me to say what I'm about to say in this piece. So it's called Your Eyes. And it goes a little something... slightly edited. I'm catching gazes that aim to catch gaze, your eyes. You ask me why I choose to look how I look. My answer is the same question back to you, homosexual. Put yourself in my shoes, gay, butch. I bet you can't even imagine what I've been through, how damaged I am because of you. It's true, I want to love who I love. And the more honest I am, the more you want to mess me up. You said, my judgment day will come. Well, it did. Day after day, gay. Night after night, dyke. You think being gay was a choice in my life? Who would really choose to face this kind of hate? Because the more they say it, you would think I was Satan. Can't you see it? Your hypocrisy is so blatant. Stop complaining others are racist when you're doing the same thing in my face. Your eyes attack my faith. And give me shame I can't seem to erase. So I ask God to save a mess like me, but leave me blind, because I hate what I see, faggot. Silently I mask it, faggot, with everybody laughing. While I'm standing here, disgusted, that I could still feel disgusting. No wonder I'm so not trusting. Look at me, then look at this world I'm in, then look at me again. I know exactly what you see, so let the names begin. See, I guess I must trust my pain so much, enough to let it come inside me again and again. And I must love the connection it brings from my heart to yours, but I will never love the way it burns. See, I got a lot to learn, but some things I was born to teach. Close your eyes and feel how deep I can still reach. So that was that piece.
Mm, Skim, you got the projection studio going off. Well, you know, we have a real treat because I think between Skim and Blue Scholars, we've got real, you know, important hip hop in terms of being able and the stories that are told. So let's just play Back Home and listen to a bit of Blue Scholars and see if the message resonates.
My brothers and my sisters who've been gone too long, we say bring them back home. And I don't wanna have to keep on singing this song. So next time you see recruiters in your school or your crib, tell them thank you for the offer, but you'd rather you live. We got more than just our bodies to offer, so coffin wrapped in red, white, and blue. Withdraw past due. We discussed it with the fact we pay taxes to build tanks. Still dropping one tromp and a half to fill tanks. Got a Chinaman's chance to fill banks like Phil Banks. For soldiers in the future giving thanks in advance, we say bring them back home.
So welcome back, and that was Geologic and Blue Scholars. And Gio, you know, I've just played your track Back Home, and one of the things that often try to struggle with, you know, with the folks on the left, it's trying to have them pay more attention to the role of culture and the importance of it, but also to artists, it's trying to struggle around, you know, the individualism oftentimes, which is what breeds the creativity, being able to tap into your own individuality. But it's also the challenge, the contradiction when you're not attached inside an organization or a movement. And, you know, Blue Scholars, in terms of your music, often tries to, not just tries, but succeeds in talking about things that impact our communities and our folks.
Oh, indeed. I mean, that song in particular, we talked, me and Saba talked a long time before we got to the point of even making that song. It was a drawn-out process, but we knew we had to make something to follow up this track that we put out on our first album called Blink, which was more of your, I guess, your typical, like, rah-rah protest anti-war song, which, I mean, that's how we're feeling at the time. And so rather than trying to recapture that feeling, we wanted to capture what we're feeling now in this moment. And that's not just how we're feeling, but, you know, how the community's feeling. And for the most part, you know, folks are still very much against this war. They haven't let go at all. But the anger is turning into something, is transforming into something more humanizing. You know, people are tired. I mean, that's why the song is so slow paced. And I think people more than anything just want, you know, my brother, like, he was in Iraq before, and the song that we did before, like, I wrote before he even left. And so this kind of, the first verse is actually kind of like a letter to him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel the same way. It's like, just bring him back home.
So how do you try to struggle to balance those two sides in you in terms of, you know, Gio, the activist, and you know, being rooted in a movement, but then also yourself as an artist, and how do you hold the dialectic between the two?
I'm staying open to criticism, pretty much. And, I mean, it hurts to hear sometimes, but I'd like to think, you know, the comrades I surround myself with and the organizers that I know, they hold me accountable to everything that I say. And more than anything, I'm open to holding myself accountable to what all of our shared principles are. And just being honest and being comfortable with that. And knowing that, you know, as an artist, you don't want to place, like, limits on yourself, obviously. But I think it's not so much a sacrifice. I used to think of it as a sacrifice, right, where you, like, you attach yourself to some politics and to an ideology, to a worldview, and all of a sudden you're limited. Actually, what I found is it breaks those limits, and all of a sudden you kind of see how the world works, and you have, like, infinitely more stories than you could tell than you could have before really grasping that and being part of a community that understands the same thing. So, yeah, like you said, it's dialectical, just being open to criticism while at the same time holding your ground and just letting that work itself out.
Well, one of the things, Skim, that I've really seen in your music that I appreciate and I think is the ability to weave your music with your traditional Korean folk music that you've grown up with and been inspired. And recently I've been seeing a lot of pieces weave in that tradition. And most recently we were at the SYOA gathering and you played it, and I think it made a lot of the Korean harmonies that were in the audience really happy, because in one instance they may not have understood all the hip-hop that was going on, but when you did the music it spoke to them, because it spoke to pieces that you know, part of their culture that they've been bringing in. So how have you found the ability to weave those two and that inspiration of both sides of your worlds coming together?
Well, I would say just that my heart is in percussion. You know, I think I've grown to really accept that and learn more about that. And as I was learning more Korean folk drumming, it led to the singing, which I'm also very drawn to. And really, how I made sense of it was just a very natural feeling. And just, for example, when I look at life and how I experience different things and different people, something, unfortunately, that we're all sort of tied to is our trauma from war. And I think that, to me, I'm definitely more familiar with some of my family's trauma. So how I start learning about that is how I start to connect with and start drawing these connections and different lines across so many different cultures and so many people, especially here in LA. You know, it's like the hub of so many different cultures and immigrants and all these things. And so, you know, we're talking about music and it sounds like maybe we just should talk about music, but really it's all of these things together. And in any situation of war, you find that the art you know, of the people, the voice, that music that comes out directly from the folk traditions is what gets cut down. And so I think that it's a very natural thing for me. For example, when you talk about music, and this is something that I finished the first album, but this with the second one, I'm hoping to really incorporate a lot more of that music together, because it just makes sense to me. Like, for example, in L.A., there's a group of like young API, young Asian MCs and stuff. And I saw the connection real simply, like there's a Korean folk way of singing. Mm-hmm. And it's very like guttural, like, you know, and like, and sometimes it's fast, like, you know what I mean? And you don't understand the language. But I started seeing these, some of these young cats, young MCs get on the mic and start freestyling and spitting, like, and all of a sudden when you hear the sound of it, music travels much more than anything else, much quicker, much faster, much more sustainable, in sustainable ways than other things. And for me, it's a long answer for really a short, simple feeling, you know, mm-hmm. that happens when this art gets created. And mm-hmm. so to me, just it all ties to what I feel like these traumas of war all ties to then how are we healing, you know, and how do we need to do that? So for me, a big part of this music also comes from a drive of working with youth who are incarcerated, youth in prison, youth in these high schools that feel also like incarceration, like with AIM folks out here in LA, Assemblies in Motion, and everybody that's involved with, you know, doing this work. I think that's something that I always want to like push on, especially as we're here in this country, you know. Mm. So.
Well, I got one more track that I think is important to hear. I mean, one of the times this hip hop has the ability to tell stories. And one of the stories is what happened in 1999 in Seattle. So 50,000 Deep from Blue Scholars.
That's why we got our hands in the air, still demanding a share. Refrigerators bare, cause they wanna see trade get free and not fair. But we are not blind, we are not there. We don't got time left to spare to not care. On the last day of November, swelling in ranks, went to chant down the mighty IMF and World Bank. A gathering of people in peaceful assembly. Onward to Westlake to disrupt the entry. Walk along steady, riot squad ready to protect every last dignitary's ass. But this started when they herded us like cattle. An offense. Protesters getting restless without an exit. They threatened to arrest us. We pushed back and then a hail of rubber bulleted teens and old men. I admit, had to split when the first gas canisters hit. Felt it burn in my eyes, nose, and lips. They try to blame it on the anarchist garbage. I was there, I'll tell you right now, the pigs started it. But they distorted in the
This is actually really fitting because it's right around the time that a lot of the folks that were arrested in Westlake got a settlement from $1 million settlement from the city of Seattle because they were found guilty of violating First Amendment rights. And Stuart Townsend is just about to release a film called Battle in Seattle on November 30th about this experience. So talk about making that and being at the those actions in 99. Gio?
Yeah. I recall you. Were you there too?
Yeah.
That's right. I think we actually might have marched with the same contingent.
That's right. Going down Denny.
Yeah, from UW. I think I was actually responding to some of the chants he was doing. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, that was what was amazing about that. I mean, besides November 30th itself, which was a crazy, crazy day, was actually the organizing that led up to that. All the teach-ins about globalization and WTO. Prior to that, that was actually the, I guess you could say, my awakening of bridging, you know, the politics of identity with the politics of like economics and all that, and seeing.
It's
that,
okay to say Marxism on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, at the time, like I was, I had all these questions regarding like you know, racial identity. I was going to American Ethnic Studies classes at the U, and there was something about that that felt, you know, it was right to ask those questions, but something that was incomplete that from the education that I was getting, and that was how this all tied into the economy. And it was that fall of 99 that I really started, you know, started really opening my eyes to how this whole IMF, World Bank, Third World Debt, and, you know, the neoliberal economy and all that stuff, like, was tied into the questions I was actually having regarding the first question. Why are we here in the first place? Why am I, as a second generation Filipino, why my family even leave their country in the first place, and it was all connected to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story I guess I wanted to tell. I mean, the rest of the story, as history tells it, you know, it's part of the song. I was there. I definitely, like the song says, I bounced as soon as, like, the tear gas canisters started flying. Ran up to Denny Way, got on a payphone, called the homie, told me to pick me up. I had no idea that it was a full-blown, like, riot till I got home and saw it on the news. And on one hand, I wished I had stayed. On the other hand, I was like, I didn't know. I thought people were dying for all I knew when I had left.
Hmm. Well, you know what? Thank you so much. I mean, I'm getting the little wrap-up sign, but you guys got to go out. There's some great music that we played on the show today. Bayani from Blue Scholars, Skim, For Every Tear. Go out and get the album. Hey, Gio, if people wanted to buy your CD, where do they hook up? What website?
Hit up masslinemedia.com or bluescholars.com.
Okay, www.bluescholars.com. And then Skim, you can MySpace, Skim Music. And then
Music.
For folks, there's the residence September 23rd at the Palmer Room, 3387 Motor Avenue. You can hear Skim live. And then also Tuesday night at the cafe on the 18th. So thank you so much. That ends today's show, Voices from the Frontlines. This is your host, Tammy Bang Liu. We like to thank our guests, Jeff Chang, Geologic from Blue Scholars and Skim. We heard music from Native Guns, Blue Scholar and Skim. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky and Christine Bogsdale. And then our engineer, D'Angelo Jones. Up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Weissman. And listen to you next week.
Lead up my leg and expect me to wait patiently. It's when the world looks hopeless.
Hopeless.
I look at you. When the world looks hopeless.
Hopeless.
Baby, I look at you. 'Cause you embody my purpose.